Good afternoon, everyone. This is Warren Smith from American Pacific Mining Exploration, USGD up in Canada, USGDF down in the U.S. We focus on high-grade assets in the Western U.S. that can be the desire of majors. I got a 14-million-ton VMS up in Alaska, partnered with Dowa Mining and Metals, who own the largest smelter out of Japan, and then a high-grade skarn porphyry system down in Montana, along with numerous assets in Nevada.
Boy, good to see you. Been a while. Where were we? It's about 3 years ago. I can't remember.
Yeah, it's about right. That's about right.
good to see you, and appreciate coming on and giving us a update on where you're at. I guess a lot has changed, and you've done a lot of things, water under the bridge, as it were. Can you just remind people what type of company you are? How do you describe yourselves? Let's start with that.
Yeah, I mean, we focus on exploration development in the Western U.S. Partner is Eric Sederholm, who was the head of exploration in the Western U.S. for Newmont. So that's sort of our strategic advantage. That's our home turf, as it would be. Even Alaska was somewhat of a departure. It's still Western U.S., just happens to be Northwestern. But it was the right size asset on an acquisition that we could take over for a price that made an awful lot of sense. And it fit the model quite well. They had a world-class partner in Dowa who were spending aggressively on the project, and that excited us. So up in Alaska, down in Montana, and then projects in Nevada as well. So we focus on high-grade assets that can be the desire of majors. That's the mantra.
Right. And that's you know, a little bit difficult when you're kind of a small junior sub $50 million, right? You kind of go to work the most efficient way of doing that. And I think the last 3 years especially rammed that message home. So, you know, how have you survived for the last 3 years on the market, like we've seen?
You know what? We've worked with partnerships. We think partnerships worked really well in this type of market. I'll give you an example. I mean, last year we were, you know, again, roughly a $50 million market cap, but we saw $27 million in exploration and development last year. So point to me another $50 million market cap's getting that much. It's an awful lot of money. We saw some great results out of Alaska. So, you know, that's how it's worked for us. We don't have to spend an awful lot of capital. We've always kind of remained in the position where we had access to capital because we're putting out a lot of results. We're doing a lot where a lot of other companies are kind of horns in, right?
Right. Okay. But you've got to also end up with a lot of the company because I guess what shareholders are looking for, what anyone looking at you will want to understand is, you know, where's the upside for you economically, et cetera. So yeah. In terms of these partnerships, why don't we start with Alaska and sort of give a sense of that? Because that's, I guess, one of the flagships, right? So how does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. So this project was owned previously by another company by the name of Constantine Metals. Mike Gentile is our major shareholder. He was the major shareholder there. We came to a conclusion that it was great to take over Constantine and run it ourselves. Presently, we own 32% of the project. The partner spends aggressively. They'll spend another roughly 17 million Canadian this summer. Although nicely this year, really focused on exploration, which has been a departure for the project. We hit some incredible holes last year. Project had about 200 drill holes into it. We drilled it for the first time last year and drilled the four best copper holes ever drilled on the project. So in terms of dilution, we can contribute alongside, which we are contributing alongside this year, or we can take dilution. The quick math essentially is for every $5 million US that they spend, and if we don't contribute a dollar, we lose 1% at the project level. That's how it works. We are going to contribute this year, so that number will be less. But it's an asset that's growing significantly. So 14 million ton VMS, that's pretty good high grades. And we're looking forward to drilling some of the exploration side of it this year.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it a couple of times recently on our copper show,
which is a
weekly thing on Crux Investor. So the grades are definitely there, but I kind of want to stick with the economics and stuff. So you're contributing, but you're not contributing pro rata, and you don't have to. It's an option that you've got. You can elect to do it or not. Where do you think you're going to end up with that thing? And, you know, therefore, what are you aiming for value-wise?
Yeah, so if I'm completely honest about it, when we bought the asset, our plan at that time, when we had a higher price and a better market for juniors in particular, was to go and raise $20 million and actually spend above pro rata and try to earn a percentage back. That remains the ultimate goal down the road. While markets have been tougher, we've just taken dilution at the project level. That's worked out. We get paid 7% of everything that Dowa spends as well. So it's cash into the till. So it's not a one-sided balance sheet, which is nice.
And you have to allocate that against it? Are they paying you to manage this thing, to operate this thing? Or what's the 7% for?
Yeah, we're operators. Yeah, so it's a management fee towards us. Yeah, yeah. So
it's not free cash flow per se, but at least you're covering a cost down a bit, right?
You got it. Yeah, I mean, last year we took in roughly $2 million Canadian. I mean, that covers the burn for the entire company over the year. So it is nice, especially in challenging markets, to have that cash coming in. Yeah, the ultimate goal in a better market and with a rising copper environment and then a more risk
like now,
like now.
Like, because it's an important point, right? Because I think there's a little bit of, hey, you gotta stay in the game to play the game, and I think that's what a lot of juniors have been trying to do for the last 3 years since we last spoke, anyway, because markets have not been kind to anyone. But having survived, you may be able to bear fruit of the rising copper price. It's only been a couple of months, but. Let's be positive here. So what could that do to change your fortunes? What's your hope?
So I'll give you this, which is probably a bit of a contrarian view to probably most guests, is, and I've said this for a while on different interviews, I think the rise in price in gold and copper is fantastic. But I think what it really needs for juniors is a more risk-on market, where you're seeing juniors rising, not just in the mining sector, but in tech, biotech, everything else as well. That's when I think juniors will get that lift. Now, I think that lift will be amplified by the fact that copper's doing incredibly well and gold's doing incredibly well, but we haven't seen that yet. What I would say is this, from the American Pacific standpoint, in 2021, when it was a more risk-on market, the Wall Street Journal Mining Index consistently ranked as the number one performing gold stock globally. That was great at that time. But what that tells you is we're a company that does know how to tell its story and shine a spotlight when times are good. Obviously, we want to get back to those points. This rising gold copper environment is certainly going to help, but I think it takes a more risk on market to see all of the juniors lift. That being said, we've been waiting to raise money for a while. We closed $4.5 million overnight on a financing, which was great to see. That puts us at roughly $6.5 million in cash, which is more than what we need for the few years to come.
Right. Okay, so that important point, as in the money's not going to cascade down into equities just yet, but it certainly is turning a few heads the right direction. Okay, so price is great for producers and eventually developers and then eventually export. Okay. In the meantime, you've got to raise some money to make sure that you can participate. So $6.5 million in the kitty is great. So how are you allocating that at Palmer, for instance, in terms of participation?
Yeah, so presently we've said we're going to put $1 million into Palmer this year. We're going to put $2 million down into Montana as well, which is an asset that we own 100% of. Banging high grades, scarred surface porphyry underneath, an asset that we've always been really excited about. And now we've got a couple $1 million to go and drill that as well. So we'll be moving on two fronts here this summer.
Okay. Well, let's briefly touch on Madison then. Obviously, I think you had a partner there who are no longer there. So how do you move that forward?
Yeah, we own 100% of the asset now. We had Rio as a partner before. They were an excellent partner. They did excellent work for us. Be more than happy to work with them again in the future. But now owning 100% of it, we made the decision that we'd take sort of 10% corporate dilution at now owning 100% of that project rather than owning 30. We'd go and drill it ourselves and get more aggressive there. So we're going to attack the Skarn, which is the more well-known portion. But we're also going to, the plan is to drill a couple of deep holes on some of the targets that really didn't have a chance to drill. And so go for the porphyry. The porphyry was drilled into in 2017, showing a latite porphyry. And we want to go chase up after that. So excited to get both those programs going. Probably May is what it looks like. Kind of mid to late May is when the drills will start turning there.
Okay, so they did a good job, but they're not there anymore. So you inherit all of that data. Not big enough for them. Why is it going to be good enough for you?
Not sure. It wasn't big enough for them, if I'm totally honest. They had a change of a North American manager. They were super complimentary of the project, but you know how this goes. New guy in, it's got new ideas and new places they want to spend money. So from the time that we dealt with them, their comment from year two was that the Skarn alone was a Rio Tinto size target, which always got us excited. Not just the porphyry alone. So regardless, as we both know, if you look at a sort of a Newmont who starts at 3 million ounces, you can go and find these things that can be 1.2 million and grow. That may be the case here. And certainly lots of examples where, majors have left and they've turned into significant size deposits. So certainly we're going to look to do that as we go and drill this asset ourselves.
Right. And so there's a 43-101 from end of 2022 or really? Sometime around then anyway. Have they done much work in 2023 before they said, actually, we're going to go elsewhere?
They hadn't done a lot of work in the past, kind of call it 12 months, I'm going to say, one of these.
Right, okay.
But in the time that they were there, they spent $6.8 million US, had some cracker drill holes, drilled 14 meters of 12 grams gold, half a meter of 146 grams gold, meter and a half of 69 grams gold, bunch of good high-grade hits, some great copper hits in there as well. The project had previously, before they got involved, there was 61 meters of 6.97% copper, 25 meters of 30 grams gold. So there's some banger hits in there as well.
Again, if you're coming back to that table, if the money's not going to kind of cascade down into juniors for a while yet, okay, you've got to be sort of a little bit more agile. I mean, I'm sure the last 3 years has taught you. It's taught you a few things. You've looked around at what's happened with other people. You know how they've survived or had to merge or spin things out or whatever it is that people do to survive. You've got a couple of assets. I know you're allocating a couple of million bucks to Madison. What do you need to show the market? What do you need to prove to yourselves before you have to make a decision about whether you raise more money to drill or you say maybe this is better in someone else's hands and we'll try and get carried somehow?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, we debated that. I'll be honest, continue to debate that on the Madison piece. We love the asset. We've made the decision that we're going to go and drill it. We're going to keep having discussions and keep showing it. It's always worth having those conversations with the right groups. I think that makes a lot of sense. But for the moment, when we look at this, we think we can add a lot of value by going and sinking some holes and with any luck, have some good success, which we've seen there, time and time again. So let's go out and drill it in a rising copper and a rising gold environment that we think will trickle down to the juniors. Go and hit some banger holes. That's what's required here. We saw that last year at Palmer. We had some fantastic holes there. Now our chance to go back and do that in Palmer again, but also go to do that in Madison, I think it makes for a very nice 1-2 punch. And I think we can excite the market with it, even based on where the market is today.
Okay, so Madison, I guess, okay, with 2 million, it's not nothing, but it's a kind of watching brief in terms of, how you treat it, and you'll let the market know when you're spending a bit more money at Palmer. You've obviously got some strong views about what you need to do there in terms of drilling out the potential of that VMS. It potentially could require a lot of money going forward, so again, what do you need to prove to yourself there to try and understand whether or not you're the guys to bring that, take that forward?
Yeah, 100%. I'll make two quick comments on that. One, I think Madison can become the flagship of this company based on success there. I really do believe that that's that type of asset. And I'm speaking against what is a fantastic asset up in Alaska, which is 14 million tons. It's high grade. We had 40 plus meters of 8% copper equivalent, 6.5% copper there last year. I think it was 23 meters of 11% copper equivalent, 8% without the equivalency. So you're hitting fantastic grade up there. It can grow. The thing that we always liked about Alaska, Palmer, was the fact that there was all these VMS showings that hadn't been drilled. There's 4 showings that are in the PEA, but there's 16 showings in total. The partner kind of always said, 14 million tons, let's get it in production. They own the largest smelter. They want the zinc concentrate, to be clear. That's what they want. That's their goal, right? So ultimately, they said 14 million tons, get it in production. Let's start getting the zinc con. That's slightly changed through persuasion and discussion in that 10 million of the 14 million tons is in what is called South Wall. And about 300 meters away, there's a very similar size signature called North Wall that hasn't been drilled. We're going to get to drill that this year. And it was fresh eyes coming in. Peter Mercer and his team up in Alaska, who was running the project for us, did an excellent job, hit some great numbers, and was then able to get probably the best way to put it is be able to get the respect of DOA, where they went, okay, these guys are doing the right things and they're driving this asset forward in a professional manner. Let's listen. And the comment has been to them, if you eventually want a mid-tier major running this project, which is something that we would both like, it needs to get bigger and you need to daylight some of these blue sky targets. And that's something that they need to see and something that as operator, we need to do. And of course, we needed their buy-in to do that. And this is the first year where we're getting the chance collectively, being Constantine, the company that was before, is getting a chance to drive that forward and show that those exploration targets can really be something.
Okay, so you kind of hit on a few things that you feel you've got to do in terms of that daylighting some of these targets and, you know, discoveries and grade and scale and all of those good things that most companies are meant to do. But when looking around the market, you'll have learned a few things about what works for the market and what's going to work for a partner. Are you saying that your partner is maybe less concerned about the vagaries of what the market's saying and more concerned about attacking the drilling the right way? Because that doesn't help you per se, right? If you want to go off and raise money in the future, you're meant to sort of drive your stock forward. So getting that balance between what is good for them and what's good for you. I mean, again, how does that come out in conversations?
You know what, man? Bang on question. Well done. You're 100% correct. They're a private company. They need $2 billion a year in revenue. They're happy to spend aggressively. It's important for them to get that zinc concentrate because some of their other mines are coming offline. So they want to have that smelter moving, right? So for them, it has been, let's focus on the feed. What I will say is they're not a mining company. American Pacific isn't a mining company. Eventually, if this is going to go to production, it needs somebody else in there, or we need to grow significantly to fill those shoes. The preference, of course, is let's find someone to go and run it and find the desire from a mid-tier major. And so aligning yourself with your partner can sometimes take time, especially if it's a new big multinational that's new for us. So it's, you know, a year of relationship building to get to that point where there's a better understanding between both sides. I feel like we're there, which is great. And now aligning on, okay, both this drilling is, yes, it's good for American Pacific without doubt. Last year's drilling was great for American Pacific as well because we hit the high grades and sort of showed that, you know, with new vision, and new geologic ideas, we can increase grade. We've done that. Now the idea is, okay, let's use that to continue some of that work, but also expand, show the, again, daylight some of this blue sky, right? Drill some of these targets that show this can get a lot bigger. And that helps both sides now. It helps DOA in that, okay, we're looking for a larger partner as we drive this forward. Helps American Pacific because that'll get shareholders excited. Nice to get that alignment as a drive forward.
Yeah, for sure. And the reason I ask this, because you look at your stock price, you know, over the last sort of, three, you know, since we last spoke, you've been on a run, you've had your highs and lows. It's been volatile. Let's put it like that. And that'll be down to, you know, specific things happening in terms of, you know, announcements around grades, announcements around partners, positive, negative, et cetera. And I guess you're getting a better sense of how you do the right thing for your shareholders going forward. Can I talk to you though about some of the other assets in the portfolio, because those are either, you can look at them as optionality for yourself or liability for yourself, because you can monetize them potentially, or at least make moves to help them advance in some way, shape or form. So in terms of how you look at the and how you view the rest of the portfolio, again, what do those conversations look like internally?
Yeah, it's exactly right. We had a board meeting at the beginning of this year, ran through the full portfolio and said, okay, what are we doing with these assets and how are we driving them forward? And the plan is to JV those assets out, or for the ones that we don't feel that we're going to get partners, we're going to drop. So yes, they become almost like a warrant for investors because we're having conversations on those as we speak. And then rather than focusing our capital where we'd like to focus the money on Madison, because there's a clear pathway there, these other assets, great assets that should be drilled and should be getting drilled. Let's JV those out for somebody who wants to spend their capital there. Let's retain a percentage or let's take cash and shares back. I'll put that towards the balance sheet so they're not liabilities. So yes, well said.
Okay. Well, again, I don't want to drill down into each one of those because I think it's probably the least of your concerns. You're driving this forward with the money that you've got. Talk to me about who came in on this recent round.
Yeah, so it's been a bunch of good, solid institutions. Mike Gentile was a big help on this again as well, bringing in some of his network also. So thrilled to have this capital come in. It came together very quickly. I say it came together quickly. We've been debating the idea of taking money for probably 18 months, and then it came together overnight. So another overnight success, as they would say. Very pleased with the groups that we had come in. Very pleased for Michael's support. Has always been an excellent shareholder and incredibly helpful for us as well.
Okay. Well, like I say, this is more kind of catch up update conversation. We'll wait to see what you do with the money and see what you've got to say about what you've done with that money as well. So we'll meet up about that. We'll hook up again about that, I'm sure. Talk to me in about 3 years. Can you
wait 3 years or so? Yeah.
just saying. Yeah. bit different picture. if you don't mind, give me a sense of, you know, how you are viewing the markets at the moment, because again, that's going to come, that's going to factor into your thinking when you're at these board meetings and so forth. And you go, well, hey, gold looked like it's going on a run. Copper looks like it's going on a run. That's got to be good for, you know, what our thesis and what we're doing eventually. But it's all happened quite quickly and rapidly, and the ascent has been fantastic. But what's it mean for investors, really? How should they view it?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think the gold run's been capturing a lot of the headlines, but now what we're starting to see, at least from, you know, our perspective, is this copper revolution, right? This whole idea that the world's going to go green, net zero by 2050. And they're talking about no gasoline cars on the road by 2030 in Canada, which I find highly unlikely. But nonetheless, if the world's going to go green, it's going green through copper. So before we did this call, I had a look, and in the past 10 days, four of the major U.S. banks have come out talking about copper. So Citibank saying copper is in its second bull market of the century. Bank of America saying copper is going to rise 30% in the next 12 months. Goldman, copper 680 by 2025. And JP Morgan forecasting a global supply gap. You know, copper, it takes 12 pounds of copper each year to maintain the average American standard of living. You're getting to this position now where copper should have an absolutely enormous run. And that ought to excite investors as that story starts to percolate and people start to realize, oh, okay, if you want to be net zero by 2050, you need twice as much copper to come out of the ground that's from the beginning of time between here and 2050. I mean, good luck with that. You know, that's coming from a guy who's, you know, looking at copper mines. You're gonna face a real rising price environment, and that rising price environment will trickle down even to the juniors. So certainly a lot of excitement ahead for copper. Feels similarly about gold, but really feel that copper is kind of the key.
Okay, I mean, and just in the context of all of the above, we've got the U.S. government. You're a U.S. asset company, right? Alaska doesn't quite feel like it sometimes, but it is. Maybe these states behave differently in terms of their encouragement of, well, certainly on the copper side, the kind of that green metal and gold in terms of that underpinning of the currency. There is like, what's the reality between, you know, what the government says and how it behaves and how it enables mining companies in both of those states, Montana and Alaska?
Yeah, without getting myself in trouble. The U.S. has been really good about this critical metals fund and putting up an awful lot of money for projects. Lithium, copper, everything the world's looking internal, right? Within its own borders these days. So the U.S. has been really good about that. If they want to get real about it, they should look at the bureaucracy of putting a mine in production. Cut that 13-year number down by half without affecting the environment or the safety of its people that work there. These are well-paying jobs. These are groups that are looking to do things the right way for the most part. And I think that bureaucracy, you know, could be chopped. And I think those timeframes could be cut in half. That's my feeling on it. Without getting myself in too much trouble, that would be my comment. In one hand, you've got the government handing out a significant amount of capital, trying to move these things forward, but then slowing it down some from the right to left, right? So that would be something that we'd love to see. We've worked under Obama, we've worked under Trump, we've worked under Biden. The U.S. is a fantastic place to do business. If you find it and you jump through the hurdles, you can keep it and drive those assets forward. You can bring in world-class partners. We've done that. We've seen that. But there's always room for improvement. That would be the one comment that I would make, is you'd love to see that bureaucracy be cut back.
Well, yeah, because the cost of it, quite frankly, it's been bad enough in a kind of economic environment like we've run for the last 3 years. But I guess the cost for juniors of this increased administration, I'm going to throw in ESG in there, and I'm also going to, a big part of that is obviously managing social license, that First Nations type component as well. So, you know, how have you managed that?
But you know what? I mean, so I may take this slightly differently just in that. So without getting a full personal rant on it, my wife is First Nations. And so by way of nature, as are my kids. I love being in the outdoors. I love the planet we live in. No interest in causing it any harm. Significant interest in seeing, you know, minds grow, but minds grow properly. So take no offense to when I say we got to cut down bureaucracy and cut down those timelines. The important part of that conversation is doing it in the correct way. I think one of the things when we took over the project up in Alaska that we wanted to focus on was being more commutative with the local people up in Alaska, being transparent and working with those people. I think that's important. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. I think you've got to take those parts of the job seriously and focus on them. So, you know, I when I say cutting down bureaucracy, I'm referring to the BS, not the real stuff.
Well said. That? Well said. Tippy toe around that one.
Wow.
No, and I know what you mean. I think there's a lot of CEOs that are in the same boat. You say, like, you know, good companies do that stuff properly anyway, but the admin paperwork is not good.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, I think, you know, mining gets, you know, you either got to grow it or you got to mine it, right? And I think in the past, mining's been, you know, tarnished with a bit of a tough brush. I don't think that's the case these days, certainly from the vast bulk of what we've seen. Mistakes are made, but they typically are mistakes. They're not through rushing. So, yeah, I think it's. I think mining's in a much, much better place than it has been in the past.
Or I think it's. Yeah, mistake is. It's. I think the accountability is better. I.e., people hold you accountable, whether it be, you know, local or otherwise, and it's.
Yeah.
It removes the ambivalence, which I think perhaps mining's been. Well, quite rightly, in some cases, labeled as so. I appreciate the work. Look, enough said. Go off and do your thing with your money, and then stay in touch. Let us know how you get on with it. Okay.
Yeah, we'll see you in 3 years. I appreciate it.